Tomatoes are the primary crop produced in Immokalee during this time of the year, and Lippman Family Farms is not only the largest tomato grower in Southwest Florida, but one of the nation's largest tomato growers. Joining me now to find out how the coronavirus response is affecting their work and their workers is Jamie Weisinger. He's Director of Community Relations and Government Relations at Lippman Family Farms. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So for starters, can you just give us the scope of what Lippman produces in Southwest Florida? I know tomatoes is what you mostly produce, but just give us a sense of what you guys grow.
Yeah, of course. Mike, we've been operating in Southwest Florida since the late 50s and early 60s. I'm actually a fourth-generation Lippman family member, and my great-grandfather, along with his sons, my grandfather and his brothers, came down here and started farming in this area back in the 50s and 60s. And so we've been operating down here for over 50 years, and we have grown into one of the largest open-field tomato producers and vertically integrated produce producers and distributors in the country. In that time. And so, of course, Florida is the largest part of our wintertime production schedule down here. So we produce mostly tomatoes, but a number of vegetables, anything that grows well in the sandy soils of Florida. So we do a lot of tomatoes, but we also grow green peppers, cucumbers, watermelons, squash, eggplants, green beans, and a number of hot peppers as well.
Gotcha. We talked with Gene McAvoy from IFAS, and he said local growers were having one of the best years they'd had in a while before everything came to a halt. Does that sound about right for what you guys were experiencing this season?
Yeah, and Gene is an incredible resource for the agriculture business down here. But he wasn't far off. We've had some really favorable weather this year, so production was up, yields have been up, and fortunately for Florida, Mexico had some production problems, so there was some tight supply issues across the country, and so prices were very favorable for a long time until coronavirus hit.
So he estimated, when we talked to him a couple days ago, that demand was down at least 80%. Would you, does that resonate for what's going on at Lippman?
It certainly does. A lot of people look, they think all of their produce comes through the grocery store. And what most folks are realizing now that they're looking at the supply chain issues that farmers are having, is that a lot of their produce goes through food service channels as well. And so when you take an economy and you shut down all of the restaurants, all of the schools, all of the hotels and cruise ships, and all of the commissaries, you're taking about 50% of the demand in the marketplace away. And so that 50%, goes down to about 10% of their normal orders. Yeah, it has a huge impact on producers in this area.
So what are you guys doing with product that's in the ground that you can't have a market for? What's the solution for you guys? I know you're giving some of it away, but I know you have a lot more that's there than can just simply be given away locally.
So we went through a very rough period where a lot, when the restaurants were first shutting down and people were really staying at home a lot, before people started doing takeout and everything, you got to a point where there were a lot of crops that were unharvestable. There was just no demand for them. And so a lot of farmers in our area, unfortunately, had to walk away from fields that were mature and ready to harvest. We see a little bit of that coming back as restaurants stabilize. But I think a lot of farmers in our area are hurting right now. They're having to walk past fields that would normally be ready. And with an unpredictable demand scheme right now, where you really don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks, much less the next couple of months, farmers don't know whether or not to keep taking care of their crops, keep planting crops. It's a very unpredictable time right now.
Gene was talking about how, in some cases you do have to basically till over a field because leaving it there and not having it harvested can cause all kinds of problems with pests and things like that. Are you guys having to do any of that?
There are some tough decisions getting made all over the place, unfortunately, right now, because everything you do to maintain a crop costs money. And so if you don't know if you're going to be able to harvest that crop and sell it into a market, you have to make the decision of whether or not you continue to invest in that crop. And so every person you send out there to prune a plant, or every spray application you do to keep pests down, all of that costs money. And if you don't know if you're going to get to that end point where you are going to be able to sell that crop, you have to make some tough decisions. Fortunately for us, we grow, pack, and ship year-round. So we have faced challenges like this before. And so we see things in a long-term approach. And because of who we are and taking that approach, we are continuing to, invest in our crops with the hope that things are going to come back and demand's going to stabilize.
We're starting to hear about, some websites and things that are trying to connect farmers with surplus to organizations, food pantries, people who can use it. Are you guys working with anything like that?
Yes, we know quite a few farmers who are doing whatever they can to find outlets for the crops they want to harvest. And I think those are great ideas. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that the general public has enough buying power to move all of the crops that are going to be harvested. Fortunately for us, we're finding those stable outlets for ourselves, so we haven't had to turn to that consumer-based model just yet. But anything could go over the next couple of weeks.
Has anything from Littman gone to the Harry Chapin Food Bank?
Well, we always have taken a community approach on a lot of these things. And so when this thing hit, we looked and said, how can we help out? And so we, like we always work with Harry Chapin, we stepped up our efforts with Harry Chapin and donated quite a bit of produce to them. Especially if you get into a down market where you can't find outlets for your produce, you're going to find somewhere where it can help people. And so we've worked with a number of community organizations, and not just Harry Chapin Food Bank, but organizations like Community Cooperative in Fort Myers. These organizations, they're struggling. There is an incredible demand on food banks and food pantries right now, and not just supplying folks, but finding volunteers to help them pack stuff up because, they just can't hand stuff out right now. And so we've done everything we can to work with a number of those organizations to help out.
What are you guys doing to help ensure the safety of the people who are harvesting and packing what you guys are growing and during this time of mandated, social and physical distancing?
Well, we've always been a people-first company. It's always been an essential part of our DNA. And so ensuring the health and the safety of all of our workers has always been job number one. And not just in our fields, but also in our packing houses and our offices. We have a very labor-intensive business. And so making sure that we have a willing and able workforce is key to making sure that we survive. So we've focused a lot of our attention on making sure that people are safe. And I think there's a lot of things to understand with that. If you take our farm employees, for example, most of these folks are here from another country. And a lot of these folks, English may not be their first language. And so our first job was to educate these folks on what was going on, get them to understand exactly, understand the virus, understand how it affects them, understand how they could keep themselves safe. So that was the first thing we did. And then we took a look at all of our operations. How can we social distance people, keep people out of harm's way? And so we looked at all of those things that we could do. So we not only kept people as socially distanced out in the field as we could, we also kept them from congregating in areas like when they have to go to the grocery store. We started bringing food into our housing facilities instead of them having to go into town. We stagger all of our break times. We have reduced the sizes of our crews. We have increased our sanitation measures on all of our buses that we transport workers to and from the fields. We apply hand sanitizer every time they get on and off the buses now. We've staggered their lunch breaks. We've also had to consider, if we did get a positive, where would we put those folks? So we've set up quarantine housing in case there are any positives. And fortunately, all of that has worked out so far, as we've had zero positives out of our farm employees. So we've been very lucky up until now.
You know, I've been listening in on some calls that happened with the Collier County EOC, Emergency Operations, I think that's what they're called, where they have all the different nonprofits and they're talking. And there has been some concern expressed by some of the local nonprofits that there isn't enough testing available out in Immokalee. A lot of the testing is being done by private labs. Is there a place there for a company like Lippmann to perhaps facilitate more local testing availability?
Well, we've been working with the Department of Health since this thing came out to understand what we should be doing to protect our workers, and also to keep posted on what's going on from the government agency point of view. And we have continually been assured by the Department of Health that if there are any issues with any of our workers, that they would take care of it. They've encouraged anybody to self-report and bring themselves to the Department of Health. And we've also been assured that if people can't make it there, that the Department of Health would come out to them and do the test. And so we're relying on them to honor their word right there.
Public hand washing stations. I know there are a lot of them out there. Are you supplementing what's being put out there by others, or what's the current situation of public hand washing stations in Immokalee?
Well, so there's a lot of areas in Immokalee where folks can't necessarily socially distance. You know, unlike the workers in our housing facilities, there are a lot of folks here that work on other farms, and they may do day work, or they may be consistently picked up or coming from their own facilities, and there's areas where they congregate. And so a couple of the local agencies, the Sheriff's Department and the Department of Health, reached out to us and said, how can you guys help? Do you have anything that we can put to help these folks, you know, stay safe? And so we looked at our inventory, and we donated 7 hand washing stations that have been put in strategic places out here in Immokalee, where people congregate, and they have been able to use those before they're either getting on a bus, or they're coming off a bus, or they're waiting to go to work, and they've been very effective. We're working with the agencies. We supplied the hand washing station, and we have one agency that's providing the soap and another one that's providing the water. And so it really has been a community effort out here to make sure that people have the ability to stay safe if they want.
I know the CARES Act contains some money, quite a bit of money, for assistance to ag producers. Are you presumably tracking all of that in terms of what's coming out of Congress and how it might help keep you guys going?
We are keeping an eye on all of those programs. There's still a lot of uncertainty as to how that money is going to be applied, but we're keeping track on that. Luckily for us, we have very strong financial base, and we have a very long-term view. And so regardless of how the government comes to people's help, we think we're going to be just fine.
And we're pretty much out of time, but I just want to have you reflect on someone whose family's been doing this for so long. Did you ever think you'd see something like this where, you know, all markets stop for the most part all at once?
You know, it's interesting because farmers have usually have a very long-term view towards markets. And generally, you've seen all types of challenges from, you know, freezes to hurricanes to all kinds of things. But this certainly has been an unprecedented situation. We've seen overproduction situations where prices fall well below the cost of production. We've seen underproduction where you can't supply all your customers at any given time. But one that combines a situation where there isn't markets to go to with your product, where also the folks in your own organization have to worry about their own safety, it really has produced a very unique situation for us. And I'm very lucky to work for an organization that has a committed management, that has committed ownership, that really is taking the time to take extra care during this time. You know, most people, it's interesting, because most people can work from home. Farmers don't necessarily have that option. We've got to go out to the fields, and we've got to work every day. So it is up to us to take the proper precautions to make sure that we can keep supplying produce to markets all over the country.
All right. Jamie Weisinger is Director of Community Relations and Government Relations at Littman Family Farms. Jamie, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
And thanks also to our earlier guest, Southwest Florida-based photojournalist and artist, Lisette Morales. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, where you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR 4 Southwest Florida.